The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Here's your money briefing for Thursday, May 27th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Everyone wants to have enough in their retirement savings to live comfortably in their post-working years. But when a spouse or partner is involved in retirement planning, things can get tricky. Disagreements can erupt about how to invest those funds for maximum growth.
When you're in retirement, you're actually having to tap into that nest egg, and you're seeing the value go up and down, particularly as it goes down, and you're also drawing money out. That can be really anxiety-provoking.
That's our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson. She's been talking with financial experts about how couples can work together to preserve their financial future. She'll be here to talk about it after the break.
Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
As couples approach retirement and a fixed income looms on the horizon, every dollar in their retirement savings is important. But what if there's disagreement over how to invest their savings? Our retirement reporter, Ann Turgeson, has been talking to financial advisors about this, and she joins us now to discuss. Ann, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
So, Ann, let's talk about what's really behind many of these disagreements couples have about investing their retirement. What are the flashpoints that often spark disagreements?
I think, given the volatility that we have seen recently in the markets, I think that, sometimes you have a situation where the risk tolerance of one spouse doesn't match the risk tolerance of the other. And, when markets turn volatile, particularly when people are in retirement and they need to draw down their nest egg, volatility in the market can be more anxiety provoking. And so when risk tolerances don't match, then, you can see situations where people maybe argue or they feel one feels, we really should do this and the other feels, no, we should do that.
And I want to ask you actually saw this play out with your own parents. Can you tell us about that?
Well, one of the two had a much higher risk tolerance than the other. And so I remember in particular in 2008, which was a really difficult situation for everybody. They really disagreed. One of them wanted to bail out of stocks entirely, and the other one basically wanted to stick to the agreed upon asset allocation and just to continue buying stocks because, when the stock market goes down, then you have an opportunity to buy at lower prices to keep your overall portfolio in line with your asset allocation.
Now, retirees being on a fixed income, money going up and down can really mean a lot to them. And in the choppy stock market that we're in, they can see those balances go up and down. And I would imagine that's firing up a lot of the conversations that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that, certainly when you're working and you're 20 years from retirement, 15, 30, this sort of up and down can also be anxiety provoking. But, you always have in the back of your mind, this is a moment in time. And, if I keep contributing and kind of stay the course, I should be okay in the long run. But when you're in retirement, you're actually having to tap into that nest egg and you're seeing the value go up and down, particularly as it goes down. And you're also drawing money out. That can be really anxiety provoking.
Now, you've spoken to financial professionals who work with people in situations similar to what your parents went through in terms of differing views on managing retirement savings. What do they say about how couples can start finding their way to some sort of an agreement?
Well, there's really no single right answer. It's something that people often just, if they're working with a financial advisor, I think generally the way they start is they might give each person a questionnaire that kind of assesses their risk tolerance. They might look back on how each person has behaved during past market declines. But generally the idea is, that you should talk about risk tolerance and whatever experiences are behind that inform it. In some cases it goes back to somebody's childhood, or maybe there was an incident involving the family they grew up in where they learned a lesson about the markets being risky or not risky. And So just even just talking about it maybe gives you a greater appreciation for why, you know, maybe your spouse is having more anxiety than you are.
And then after that, what are some of the potential solutions that couples might consider?
In terms of actual ways to manage having different risk tolerances, again, I think the obvious solution is to kind of meet in the middle. So if you have one spouse who prefers like a more conservative asset allocation that leans heavily towards bonds, but the other one prefers a more aggressive allocation that leans heavily towards stocks, then, you know, the solution might be to meet in the middle at like a 50-50 split or something like that, you know, which is fine. But there are ways within even a meet in the middle kind of strategy to make each person feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, for example, if somebody's really risk averse, you know, maybe they want to have a couple years worth of spending money locked up in cash. And so then you can look at the rest of the portfolio and maybe you make a concession to the more aggressively minded spouse by maybe instead of going 50-50 in the rest of the portfolio, maybe you go 60-40 to 60% in stocks. So there are ways that you can sort of meet in the middle, but also kind of manage the portfolio in a way that would give each spouse something that they particularly value.
Got it. Now, what about just having separate accounts where each person manages some of the retirement funds? What do financial experts say about that?
Right. So that's something that actually, you know, now that, you know, it's kind of the norm for both spouses to be working, that can come up more and more often. And I think, you know, when we're working and we have our own 401k, we're sort of inclined to sort of each manage our own money, or at least, you know, some couples do it that way. And so when you have differences of opinion on risk tolerance, that is one solution, is that each spouse will sort of just continue to manage their own money as their own separate pot, and they don't necessarily coordinate. That has some real pros and cons. I mean, if you have differing amounts, then, you know, the person who has the larger amount in effect has more control over, you know, a greater share of the whole. And if you don't really think in terms of the whole, you know, maybe you can make suboptimal decisions. Like, for example, it's generally more tax efficient to have the bonds in the retirement accounts because you don't owe tax on the dividends and interest as they accrue. You only owe tax when you take money out of these portfolios. So it can be a very tax efficient way to hold bonds in a retirement account. But if, you know, one person is managing the retirement account, the other person's managing the taxable account, sometimes you have the bonds in the taxable account, that's not very tax efficient. So it's fine if people want to sort of do it separately, but I think it's also important to think about how the money's being managed as a whole and trying to make sure you maximize the efficiency of that, which can be difficult if you're each focused on your own separate pot of money.
Okay. And so stepping back for a moment, is focusing on risk the right way to approach this whole question, or is there another way of thinking about it?
Right. So one of the other strategies that some of the advisors I spoke to mentioned was, you know, just sort of trying to take the focus off of this issue of risk tolerance anyway. I mean, for one thing, risk tolerance can change over time. I mean, certainly as you get older, sometimes people get more conservative minded in terms of what they prefer in terms of their investments. But the other reality is that, you know, when you're in the middle of a bull market, people can be more inclined to think in terms of stocks not being volatile. They'll think that, you know, that stocks are safer than they would think, you know, during a bear market where they might perceive stocks as really dangerous or high risk. So some advisors recommend just sort of not focusing on the question of your overall tolerance for risk, but instead trying to sort of divide up your portfolio so that you have specific buckets of money that are tied to specific goals. So for example, you might have some money tied to college savings. Well, you know, if you've got a 17-year-old, you need that money next year, you're going to invest that pot of money pretty conservatively. You know, your retirement savings, maybe you're not going to retire for 15 years, so you can afford to take more risk in that pot of money.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal retirement reporter Ann Turgeson. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.